Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our expository study of the book of Hosea. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the book of Hosea. This is part one of two.
We're in there.
We'll start with the current events update. And we're going to talk about Joe Biden. He says he's running. You can't hear me. You gotta listen. He says he's running for Senate.
Oh, good.
And he can't remember Mitt Romney's name.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
I got in trouble when I'm running against the
just
senator
now.
Who is a Mormon. I was the governor, okay?
So he couldn't remember Mitt Romney's name. And I, you know, we don't pick on people with illnesses or disabilities or anything, except when you want to use power, your power, to push wickedness in this country, and you demonstrate that you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And this man is out of his mind. This should be trending right now, hashtag Senile Joe. Because for real, the man is losing his capacity, mental capacity. And they want him to be president.
We have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
I got in trouble when running against the senator who was a Mormon. I was the governor, okay?
I'll think of his name tomorrow.
This
has just happened yesterday. Yeah, and there are reels of these where he's gaffed. 7 months ago, he did the same thing. But our news media is Democrat, so they kill it.
Which is why you stayed in the basement for all this
time. Yeah, it wasn't because of COVID. It was to hide from people. And it's amazing. This election is one of the weirdest. I thought the one in 2016 was strange. So I made this campaign flyer for him. Joe Biden for Senate. Endorsed by that one senator governor fella.
Pastor, just think what the rest of the world thinks about. If this guy would win, what would they think?
But most of the world's as stupid as the rest of the liberals in this country, so they support Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So, electing Biden would be a stamp of approval on corruption. How many of you have seen the news today?
Yeah.
Smoking gun email shows Joe Biden did meet with his son Hunter's Ukraine partners, and Joe Biden has been lying and lying and lying about it. This is from the article. A smoking gun email obtained by the New York Post shows Joe Biden lied when he said he's, quote, never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings, end quote. According to an email dated April 17, 2015, Biden, who was then the sitting vice president, met in person with Vadim Pazarskia, or something like that, an advisor to the board of Burisma. So that's why you see in these headlines on the few news sites that aren't run by Democrats. Bombshell, Joe Biden's pressuring of Ukraine into firing its top prosecutor came after Burisma Holdings lobbied the Obama White House. Again, Donald Trump said so. And they for weeks said he lied, that Donald Trump was lying. Again, he's been vindicated. Over and over, he's vindicated. So at this point in time, around half of the American people reject Joe Biden and his corruption. Hopefully it's a little over half of the voters.
Amen.
But even if it's not over half, it'll be because of California. We showed you that Sunday. But after the rapture, Satan's crowd will be a two-thirds majority. I just want you to think these things through. After the rapture, America will be run by those left behind. It'll be two-thirds liberal. Then you're going to have about 6 million Jews fly out of here and take their money and their stocks and their bonds, everything, and go to Israel. America, after the rapture, will collapse economically, and two-thirds of the people, at least two-thirds of the people left behind, will be wicked. And the other third will be unsaved, but not necessarily as wicked as liberals. Not necessarily supporting the murder of unborn children and everything else. I think we have here's the list. This is the Democrat agenda. Kill infants. Don't call them fetuses. They're babies. And they want to kill them right up to the point of birth, but truth be known, if they could get by with it, they would legalize infanticide.
Yeah.
And they already have said that you can leave a baby and let it die without treatment. Sodom. The reason there's gay marriage in this country right now. Gun control, because that's the only way they can come and take you off to a camp, which is hand in hand with socialism and globalism. And that's what the Democrat Party is all about, Johnny.
I was just mentioning, isn't it, though, so they use the word fetus to try to, you know, to make it not a child, but isn't it, though, fetus actually...
Technically, the
child?
Yeah, technically it does, but it's become defined by usage as a blob of tissue. See, it's words... the lady at the Senate hearings, Amy Coney Barrett, used the phrase... what they say, sexual, she called sexual preference. And now they're shaming anybody who uses that because they want to use sexual orientation because they claim that you're created to be a pervert. It's not a preference, see?
But they blame God.
But that's what liberals do to the language. Liberals are satanic. They act just like Satan in Genesis 3, Matthew 4, and Luke 4. Satan perverts words and language, and that's the liberal agenda. Jill.
Somebody, I think it might have been on Russia, where they took about 5 or maybe 10 Democrats that used the exact same words recently. Even the lady that the judge that just died, she had used the word sexual preference.
Right.
A whole bunch of Democrats.
That's right. I say this. We don't endorse anybody using the so-called N-word. But they went from that to Negro, which is the word for black.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted you to call black Americans, African Americans, Negro. Well, once you did that, they're no longer controlling you. So then they had to come up with colored. When that's when they come up with the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. But then, again, they weren't controlling you, so then they had to change it again to African American. It may have been black before that.
Yes.
And then it went African American, and now they're starting to change that now.
You have to say people of color.
People of color.
You can't say colored people. You have to say people of color.
But don't lose track of the fact it has nothing to do with the language. It has to do with controlling you. It's all about control. It's just like homosexuals. They call each other queer. They even have Queer Nation and other groups where the word queer is in the name of their organizations. They call each other fag. They call each other all kinds of names. But you don't get to do it. See, it's all about control.
When we went to England, there were black people there that were from England. And I was thinking, let's see, they're not African-American.
African-English, I guess. African Brits. And, you know, a good, especially saved black American doesn't want to be called African American.
Right.
You'll just find that to be the fact. You say, well, someone says, I'm a Christian and I want to be called African American. Talk to them a little bit and find out what kind of Christian they are. See what I'm saying? So, that is the agenda of Antichrist. The Democrat Party is the party of Antichrist, And every rhino and never Trumper in the Republican Party is part of the problem as well. They're all of the same Antichrist spirit. And after the rapture, they can have the Republican Party. They can have it. But until then, we're fighting them. So America should take Joe's advice.
Gallup reported last week 56% of Americans said that they were better off today than they were 4 years ago, would have been under the Obama-Biden administration. So why should people who feel that they are better off today under the Trump administration vote for you?
Well, if they think that, they probably shouldn't.
There you go. He said it. If you think you're better off than you were 4 years ago, then you shouldn't vote for him. You should vote for Trump. He said it. That's what he said. Hey, this isn't the first time. He said it another time. A guy said something. He said, well, then you shouldn't vote for me. He tells people the truth every once in a while. Yeah. All right. That's your current events update. All right. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope they are King James Bibles. And if they're not, we have King James Bibles in the pew. If you're online on the internet, you can get the King James Bible in numerous places free of charge on the internet. And we're going to start in verse 5 and read through verse 9. Hosea 13, beginning verse 5 through verse 9. And I'm just going to have you read the odd verses. So don't pay attention to the screen. So pick up with me there in verse 5 and read through verse 9. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so they were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. God's people say amen. So for context, I want to go back to verse 4 and just see what led into verse 5. It says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. In our previous study, we ended by looking at the fact that, how many of you heard it? You know, I've had more than once had this happen to me. Someone says, well, I believe in the God of the New Testament, but not the God of the Old Testament. You ever heard that? And I had one lady tell me that the God of the Old Testament is just mean and vindictive. And, you know, but the God of the New Testament, I can accept. And I tried to explain to all of them, it's the same God. And God is holy, and it's not vindictive whenever a holy God confronts you with your sin and you refuse to repent and he judges you. That's not vindictive, that is righteous. It's justice. But Jesus is that same Savior. His name just wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. And what we hope this gets stuck in your head as a reminder as you study that which is concealed in the old is revealed in the new. And so that's what we see, the references to God being our Savior in the Old Testament revealed in the new. Write your question down. We're going to have questions at the end there. You got something to write on?
No.
We got notepads and pencils you can write on. That's going to be something you ask. You write that down. We'll talk about that. Hosea 13:5 then says, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. So God continually hearkens back to Israel's beginnings. It ought to be a big hint to everybody that you ought to know history. And yet I run into Christians all the time who don't know history and don't want to know history. Oh, history bores me. Well, the problem is your attitude. It's not history. History is very interesting. But if you just don't have it's just like if you don't understand that you take a little kid, if they haven't been raised around water, And they don't realize how important it is not to breathe water. Then they don't appreciate how important that is until it happens. And they almost drown. And that's what happens to Christians. If they don't appreciate how important something is, then they're just ready to fall for it. They're ready to be sucked up into some kind of... the Bible uses the word falling into a pit. And that happens too often. And Christians don't know their history. Christians don't know church history. They don't know American history. They don't know world history. And because of that, they're clueless. And I don't say this as, you know, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I've met a lot of well-studied Christians through the years who know history and the Bible. But I've also met way too many, and I'll easily say the mass majority of professing Christians are some of the most ignorant people on the planet.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about knowing how to do brain surgery, be a mechanic, develop on a computer. You know, those are all skills and things we all have our different... But when it comes to the Bible and knowing the world you live in, Christians should be at the top of that game. But that's just... I don't say straight to browbeat you. I'm hoping that you take heed and start to learn history. Now, you also have to watch your sources. If you try to get your history from the History Channel, you're going to be all kinds of confused.
Amen.
I mean, you better be careful where you get the history. We got all kinds of history books in the bookshelves here. We've got some that you can download for free from our website. If you need recommendations, I can give them to you. But just by picking up books like A Woman Rides the Beast, Fox's Book of Martyrs, we've got books on Baptist history that don't come from the Roman Catholic perspective, which most Christian history books do. You know, all those things. So a nation that distorts or forgets her history is a nation adrift and heading toward shipwreck. And that's why America right now, this whole, I'm not just talking about millennials. I mean the whole generation of Americans alive today. They say there's like boomers and X and millennials and all that. But if you take all that are alive today, the mass majority are adrift. They don't understand the history not only of our own country, but of socialism. They don't understand that socialism is a death sentence. Socialism has been, because communism is socialism with a gun to your head.
Right.
It really is the only difference between communism and socialism. Socialism and communism says you are here for the benefit of the state. We control your property. We don't allow you to own guns. You don't have free speech. You don't have freedom of religion. If you go against the state, we'll throw you in a camp and so forth. That's socialism and communism. And an entire political party right now, the Democrat Party, is trying to push America into that.
Yep.
Why? Because it's time for the Antichrist to show up.
That's right.
And they're all getting prepared for his appearance on the world stage. I just recommend this. I didn't bring it tonight, but we might already have one copy, but I have another copy of this. This is a video put out years ago, but it's as good as it was when it first came out, called A Nation Adrift. Standing at the crossroads of America's destiny. There are a couple little things I'd tweak in there if I were to produce it. But that's just an example. There are historical materials out there put out by Christians. And this thing will cost you $3.99 to watch it online. You can buy a copy for, I think, $7 or $10 on DVD. Now, I've just through the years recommended these products to Christians. And, of course, a number of people take advantage of it. We have all this is free over here. And sometimes Christians do take advantage of it. I'm not saying they never do. But I've had people look me straight in the face that I know will take their family to a theater. And I'm not talking the dollar theater. And they'll spend $50-$60 just on tickets. And then they'll spend, you know, another $50 or $60 on popcorn and soda. $100 and some dollars, and look me in the eye and tell me they just can't afford to buy a DVD.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There, where your heart is,
there's your treasure.
There's your treasure. Okay. So just don't come up and tell me you don't have money for it, especially when we provide them free.
Yeah.
But Even I've been in churches where we had all this material available for free, and nobody watches it. Nobody reads the books. Nobody takes the gospel tracts. I'm thankful to say we see rotation. We see stuff going out. We see the tracts going out. We have to refill the thing. So somebody's doing something around here. Amen? And I don't keep an eye on who's doing what. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm just saying, I know when I stand before the Lord, I know where I'm going to be accountable. For not just what I know, you're going to be held accountable for what you could have known. And instead of spending, if you watch TV for 10 hours a week, then you've spent 500 hours a year. You know that? 500 hours a year watching TV. And those same people will tell you they don't have time to read their Bible.
Yeah.
They don't have time for a book or whatever. But they've got 500 hours a year for TV. And most of it, what people are watching is sewage for the brain anyway. But if you're watching your TV and you're using it to watch stuff like this, that's different. But anyway, moving on, even as God prepares His judgment on Israel, we see His love and His mercy. Look at verses 5 and 6 together. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled twice, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Listen, folks, the only nation that ever gets into the heresy of self-love. One of the things, one of the traits of the last days, men should be lovers of their own selves. And it's only prosperous nations. The poor nations aren't worried about self-love and self-esteem. They're worried about survival. But the prosperous nations get into the psycho-babble crap. It's the prosperous nations. And people with too much time on their hands, basically. And God chose Israel and blessed them. And then prosperity took them into apostasy. And the churches have gone headfirst into this garbage. Headfirst into, oh, I need a Bible that's chewed up and spit out in the level of an infant. I can't read the King James, it's too difficult. Some of those people are doctors, lawyers, computer developers. They've learned computer languages. Some of them have learned Spanish, French, Greek, Latin. But the King James Bible is just too difficult. It's written on a fifth grade level. I taught it to my children from the time they began to read. They didn't know that it was too difficult, so they just did it. Yeah. And they got older and other people are saying, I just can't read the King James Bible. And I remember, some of the, they would tell, are they stupid? I said, well, yes, but it's not that they're too stupid to read the Bible. It's that they're stupid and they don't realize how dumb what they just said is.
I'm a lady, a supervisor that I worked with a number ago, some 10 years back, told me that she couldn't figure out what he and thou. Really?
Yeah.
Not that hard.
Well, and that's what that is also a Greek term called baloney.
Yeah.
B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Yeah, John.
You have to remember, some of the newer Bibles made it more difficult.
Absolutely.
Like Abraham, he turned it to Negev.
Yeah, Negev.
South.
Which is the wrong direction.
Those days, they were Negev.
Yeah. Yeah, they not only make it more difficult, but they put false information. You remember, who was it that killed Goliath? It wasn't David in the NIV. It was David's brother, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, they changed. They don't just update the language, which is a lie. They also put in false information. And there's a list, and I think it's in Lawrence Vance's book, Archaic Words in the Authorized Version is what it's titled. And he shows how dumb that comment is, that claim is. But there, I think it's there, but I know online you can find it. Archaic words in the NIV. And he actually puts side by side and shows the NIV changing words in the King James Bible and they changed it to archaic words. Words that no one uses. The NIV. Because they, here's a little dirty, little secret for those of you who don't know. The reason why they make changes isn't to update the language. They have to make a certain number of changes in order to get a copyright. See? And so they change those words not to make it easier for you to understand, but to make it possible for them to make money. And they also, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, but they change that to say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See? I mean, the devil has a thousand different ways of getting you. But if you stick to the book, you don't have to worry about it. Just stick to the book and he can't get you. J. Vernon McGee said this, God says, I have been your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt. I am not about to give you up, but I am going to judge you. Wow. You remember Peter, he talks about how judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Yeah. God judges. It's another little secret among evangelical churches today, but if you don't judge, you're backslidden. The Bible commands you to judge. What it also says, though, is not to judge as a hypocrite. Judge. Don't be pointing out the speck in Jenny's eye when Greg's got a mote in his own. First, you take care of that. Then you can judge and say, Jenny, I love you, but you got a speck in your eye. See how that works? If you don't judge, you don't love. You know, the crowd that talks the most about love usually says also don't judge. So in reality, they don't do either. Because if I love you, I love you enough to tell you the truth, as the banner says in the corner. Verses 7 and 8 then say, therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. And it goes on, and just, I want to stop there but mention, think of prophecy here. Biblical prophecy. We studied these things in Daniel and in Revelation. The lion, the leopard, and then verse 8, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. That's a mama who thinks you've taken her cubs. You're going to be ripped to shreds if that's you. It says, and there will I devour them like a lion, and the wild beast shall tear them. Prophetically, lion is Babylon, and leopard is Greece. You remember that in our studies of Daniel 7? The lion represents Babylon, and it just so happens that if you look at the archaeological findings, you'll find that on the walls of Babylon, there were lions all over the place because that was what represented them. And the leopard is Greece. And I'll let Gabelline explain this. I don't want to reinvent the wheel here. Verses 7 and 8 are interesting. They are to be rent by wild beasts, which symbolically represent the Gentiles. What happened? That did. So, you know, sometimes you just got to stop. Don't get too caught up in the bad things going on here because they brought it on themselves, folks. But just step back once in a while and say, the book is amazing. The Bible is amazing. The 10 tribes were carried away by the Assyrian, while later when Judah met its judgment, the whole land was devastated by the lion empire, Babylon. Then by the bear Medo-Persia, which is what we read about whenever Belshazzar sees the handwriting on the wall and fills his depends, and Medo-Persians take over, and then that's what Esther, the whole book of Esther is about. It all fits in there. And then by the leopard, the Greco-Macedonian, and that then led the way for Rome, who was in power when Jesus came. And this is all prophesied in other books, but right here in Hosea. And it came to pass. Your Bible is amazing.